Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Hong Kong, 1974, Part 1. Leading Others. Prabhupada continued his forceful mood in front of the guests. Quote, "So how do you like our lifestyle?" Prabhupada asked Jagatarini. She paused, looked at Prabhupada, and ventured, "I don't know." Her tentative answer evoked a heavy reply. "You don't know, you don't know, you are leading others, and you don't know." My comment, Prabhupada's words rattled us to the core. Preachers have to practice what they preach. As Prabhupada told the teachers in the Dallas Gurukula, example is better than precept. An offering of a smiling face. As Prabhupada spoke to the guests, he asked me to bring him a Bhagavad Gita as it is. I couldn't find one. Instant anxiety. Prabhupada's movement is based on his books and none were at the hotel. I felt foolish. Quote, "We don't have any Bhagavad Gitas here now, Prabhupada." He looked at me sternly. "What do you have? Only your face." My comment, the Vedic literature orders us to approach the spiritual master with an offering of firewood and the deity with rice or flour, food or water. We should not approach the guru empty-handed. Our smiling face proudly parades before him. Proudly paraded before him is not always sufficient to bring him pleasure. Leaving temples behind. Later, when we were alone, Prabhupada started again. "Why did you leave your old temple? It was small, but you had decorated it with so much devotion." My comment, our old temple was a small rented flat in a crowded tourist district, Tsim Sha on the Kowloon side of Hong Kong. The temple walls, along with their cloth decorations, were blackened by the city smog, and the kitchen roof leaked badly. The flat itself was beside a non-vegetarian restaurant, and the fumes nauseated us. Jagatarini had painstakingly decorated that temple's walls with pictures of Krishna. She artistically surrounded the pictures with peacock feathers and imitation jewels. No guest ever expressed appreciation of her work. Now, 2 years later, Prabhupada remembered the temple and its decorations. Prabhupada had traveled the world many times since then and had visited big American temples, opulent European temples, and seen the work of many powerful devotees. I was moved that Prabhupada appreciated and remembered our humble devotional offering. The fall of unqualified gurus. Prabhupada began criticizing his disciple, one of his disciples, and his anger was intense, was as intense as the monsoon rains. He wants to be guru, but he is not qualified. All of them, they want to be guru without qualification, and they will fall victim to sex life. Prabhupada then turned to me. "Your wife belongs to Krishna. You cannot even enjoy one wife. They all belong to Krishna." Prabhupada continued preaching strongly. "All of them, even that Swami Satchidananda, has fallen down with some Western women." My comment. I had met Swami Satchidananda, a popular impersonalist guru who had, quote, done well in the West. I had met him at Woodstock and then in Hong Kong. I had noted that his traveling companions were two vampish, dressed in black Western secretaries. Prabhupada's example of dealing with members of the opposite sex should be noted. As a sannyasi, he once refused to be alone in a room with his elderly and saintly sister. We should follow Prabhupada's example and never challenge the laws of material nature by associating loosely with a member of the opposite sex. Fortunate, unfortunate, and most unfortunate. The next morning, before leaving for his morning walk, Prabhupada stood with us at the hotel elevator. He was grave and, As he looked straight toward the closed elevator doors, he spoke. Those who come to Krishna consciousness are fortunate. Those who do not come are unfortunate. Prabhupada became even more grave. But those who come and leave before they are mature, he paused and turned to Jagatrini and myself, they are most unfortunate. The elevator arrived. Prabhupada continued to speak from inside. It seems that some have come to this movement to take. I immediately objected. No, Prabhupada, I don't think they have. Without a moment's pause, Prabhupada counted, but we want them to take. My head spun. Yes, Prabhupada continued, we want them to take our rules and regulations. Prabhupada describes, my comment here, Prabhupada describes give and take in his purport to Mantra 4 of the Nectar of Instruction. In this exchange, Prabhupada expressed his consternation that he was freely giving, and yet the exchange was incomplete because some did not fully accept the gift of the practices of sadhana bhakti. Envy and fall down. Later, during his noon massage, Prabhupada asked me, why don't they associate with the other devotees? Quote, I replied, I think it is difficult for them because so many devotees are envious that Siddhasroop has so many followers. Who is envious? Prabhupada challenged. Well, I stammered, and I mentioned one devotee's name. Prabhupada spoke almost in a whisper. So he has fallen down. He has written me and told me that he was not able to follow the rules properly, and so he has said that he will leave. But because he feels repentant, he will come back. My comment. Too often, we eagerly correct others and yet remain blind to our own weaknesses. Prabhupada taught me that criticizing others, even if the criticisms are justified, does not protect one from one's own shortcomings. One is often correct about the faults of others, but wrong about his own. Thinking, quote, I am right and sincere, and the other person is wrong and insincere, is dangerous. To protect our spiritual lives from offenses to other devotees, we should not be callous to their good intentions, and we should also beware of making criticisms that are neither spoken with affection nor truly meant to help. In addition, Prabhupada implied in this exchange that a repentant attitude gives one a second chance. Okay, we will end here. It's a very intense time. Hare Krishna.